Our next presenter is Allison from Nebraska.
Thank you. My name is Allison, and I am an infectious disease epidemiologist with the Nebraska State Health Department. And I'm going to present on concentrated disadvantage as a measure of neighborhood well-being in Nebraska. So, you know, a lot of public health focuses on individual behavior. So go exercise, don't smoke, eat your fruits and vegetables. And granted, you know, and how, you know, public health focuses on those individual behaviors and how it impacts health. And, you know, we've made a lot of progress in reducing rates of, you know, many different kinds of diseases and conditions. But we haven't made as much progress in addressing health disparities. And the life course perspective offers a different way of looking at health within structural, social, and cultural contexts. So it considers health and the influence of environmental, biological, economic, behavioral, social, and psychological impacts on individual and community health. So where a person lives and the physical, structural, and access to services a person has in their neighborhoods can impact a person's individual's ability to make choices and their ability to make healthy choices. And for example, a person may want to exercise, but they may not be able to because their neighborhood doesn't have sidewalks or it doesn't have well-lit streets. And so the life course perspective says that, you know, focusing on modifiable risk and preventive factors can really impact an individual's health as well as a community's health. So in 2012, the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs, so that's AMCHIP, launched a project to identify and promote a standardized set of indicators that can be used to measure progress in improving maternal and child health using this life course approach. And they decided on 59 indicators, which fell into 12 different categories. And these are the 12 categories that these 59 indicators fall under. And in 2014, Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services received technical assistance from ANCHIP to develop an outreach piece around these life course indicators. And we chose to develop our outreach piece around concentrated disadvantage at the community level and teen birth at the individual level. So neighborhoods experiencing high levels of concentrated disadvantage can have limited access to resources, social networks, and expose people to negative social conditions and poor outcomes. And we chose teen birth as one outcome that can be impacted by addressing concentrated disadvantage. And we chose to use AMCHIP's definition of concentrated disadvantage. There's many different ways that you can define concentrated disadvantage. So the definition we used is made up of five variables or factors. The percent under the age of 18, the percent below the poverty line, the percent on public assistance, the percent of female-headed households, and the percent of adults unemployed. So concentrated disadvantage goes beyond just looking at income, and it takes into account other factors that can impact a community's social capital. And the objectives of this project were to target organizations such as community action agencies, local health departments, and federally qualified health centers as potential users of this outreach product that we were going to develop. And we wanted to know if an outreach piece can help communities understand how neighborhoods impact an individual's health, understand how concentrated disadvantage impacts outcomes such as teen birth. And we wanted to see if this outreach piece can also encourage community partnerships and help stakeholders and communities go beyond focusing on individual behavior. So we downloaded the 2009 to 2013 census tract data from the American Community Survey. And Z scores were calculated for each concentrated disadvantage variable. And then those Z scores were summed for each census tract. And then those Z scores were divided into quartiles. Low, medium low, medium high, and high levels of concentrated disadvantage. And then we also got census tract level teen birth rates from our birth certificate data. And the birth certificate data was 2009 to 2013. And then each teen birth was geocoded. And the concentrated disadvantage quartile of each teen birth was determined based on the mother's address. So basically, we were left with every census tract in Nebraska had a concentrated disadvantage quartile, as well as each teen birth had a census tract, concentrated disadvantage quartile based on the mother's address. And this is on the map that we developed, and this map shows concentrated disadvantage by census tract for 2009 to 2013. And the two inset squares are our major urban areas, so Lincoln on the left and Omaha on the right. And the light yellow is the lowest level of concentrated disadvantage. The two kind of medium orange and dark orange are kind of our mid-level of concentrated disadvantage, and the red is the highest level of concentrated disadvantage. So we identified areas experiencing high concentrated disadvantage in urban metro areas like Lincoln and Omaha, some American Indian reservations, as well as a few rural farming communities. And this graph shows the teen birth rate per 1,000 females aged 15 to 19 by concentrated disadvantage quartile. And as you can see, census tracts experiencing high levels of concentrated disadvantage have about double the teen rate as those census tracts experiencing low levels of concentrated disadvantage. And this is the outreach piece that was developed. And so on the first page, we talk about how poverty, environment, community, and neighborhood impact an individual's health, and how concentrated disadvantage is a reflection of how intensely a community experiences socioeconomic deficits. And early exposure to adversity raises an individual's risk for outcomes such as teen pregnancy. And, you know, addressing concentrated disadvantage should result in communities with more resources, social support, and hopefully overall better health. And on the second page, we define concentrated disadvantage. So we talk about those five variables that make up how we define concentrated disadvantage. We put a map on the second page so people can see how, you know, where their community falls. And we talk about how addressing concentrated disadvantage can reduce exposure to risk factors that put youth at risk for adverse outcomes, and how it can help strengthen protective factors such as having a supportive home environment, school achievement, food security, and physical and psychological safety. And on the third page, we graph teen birth rate by concentrated disadvantage quartile, and you know, and we encourage our stakeholders to partner with other organizations to identify, you know, potential new partners, see who is doing what in your community, and how you can align services. And we talk about how investing in healthy communities reduces the cost of outcomes such as teen birth. And this is the last page, and so we wanted to emphasize the importance of community-level interventions rather than a primary focus on individual behavior. And we list some next steps for stakeholders, so we want them to take the messages in this outreach piece and talk about it with members of their community. We want them to align services with other stakeholders in their community, and then, you know, also talk to policymakers at the state level, at the local level. And we met with four community stakeholders and four communities that are disproportionately experiencing high levels of concentrated disadvantage, because we wanted to get their feedback on this outreach piece to see what's helpful, what's not, how they might use this outreach piece. And in general, we got very positive reactions, and they liked that this outreach piece encouraged collaboration between stakeholders. They really would have liked to have more local level information rather than their census tracts being compared to the whole state. And some limitations are, research is ongoing to further understand the complex interplay between neighborhood environment and health outcomes. And some counties, especially in western Nebraska, are one census tract. And so it's really difficult to get down to what's going on in individual communities within those counties. And you can't compare concentrated disadvantage between states because your quartile cutoffs are going to be different. And, this outreach piece may not be useful for all communities. And so the lessons we learned are understanding the life course perspective does help communities go beyond focusing on individual behaviors. And mapping concentrated disadvantage ties individuals and their health outcomes to their neighborhood. And our outreach piece can help communities address the health outcomes of people living in areas experiencing high concentrated disadvantage. And I'd like to acknowledge some of my colleagues. Questions?
Hi, I'm Tim from Alabama, and I was wondering, you highlighted community partnerships. I'm wondering if you can name some.
It varies by individual community, but, things like the Department of Education, Department of Roads, there's local school board, local city council, if they have a federally qualified health center in their area, faith-based organizations in their area, partnering with those types of people.
And another question I have is, did you notice any differences between urban and rural environments?
Yeah, we did see, urban areas were more likely or had more census tracts that did experience higher levels of concentrated disadvantage than the more rural areas.
Hey, great presentation. This is a really exciting area. I'm Jonathan from Arkansas, and I think like Nebraska, we have two metro areas and then a lot of rural areas. And you actually took my first question. I'll just comment that we looked at income and life expectancy in Arkansas and found one rural county where people had a very low median income and a great life expectancy. So I think it is important to stratify by urban rural. My second question, it might have slipped my mind.
Oh, that's okay.
I'll let this person go and then I'll come back.
Okay.
I'm very interested in this as well, and I really like what you did. I really appreciate also taking the life course perspective, because I think that it's probably one of the underutilized conceptual frameworks that we probably need to be using. My question is actually about what next. So I don't remember seeing your slide if you work for the state or not.
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it seems like the emphasis is really on teen pregnancy, and we know that there are effective methods for preventing teen pregnancy. So I'm curious to see if the state is going to take a stance on reducing concentrated disadvantage and not just put it at the local level, but actually try to help these disadvantaged communities to address one of the leading determinants.
No.
Okay.
The purpose of this outreach piece was really for communities to be the drivers. And so we are kind of, and I guess, of course, we'll provide, technical assistance, but we really wanted communities to be in control. They know their community. They know, you know, maybe some of the political will issues that they face, some of the priorities their communities have. And so we wanted this to kind of be a starting point for them. And that really is tough because communities kind of are left with this what if. You know, and some of those underlying environmental and structural issues that cause these health disparities are really hard to, you know, to move. But yeah, we kind of decided to leave it in the hands of the community and how they wanted to address it, who they partner with, kind of like letting them control that.
I also think that the state has a responsibility to not just present this and then mm-hmm. hand it off to the community, but also to say what their investment in those communities are. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that local perspective, and it's a very challenging topic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there have been states that have been mm-hmm. successful with place-based initiatives, and it is something that I think we in public health need to think about a little bit more. So thank you.
Hello, I'm Chris Hill from Virginia. I just had a question as far as, did you take into account rapid repeat pregnancy in looking at your teen pregnancy rate, or as far as it goes with social deprivation, or was this just simply a single teen pregnancy?
Yeah, just a single teen pregnancy. We really, because we have such small numbers, mm-hmm. there are very small number of teens that actually have multiple pregnancies, and so we just decided to use, you know, just a single pregnancy and not take into account those teens that had one pregnancy versus mm-hmm. two or more.
Okay. Okay, I remembered.
Okay, good.
boy, this is great. And life exposures over the course of somebody's life, that's got to be the hardest mm-hmm. thing to ever measure. But did you look at all at how long people had lived in a disadvantaged area? Because I thought, you know, you could move somewhere, get pregnant, deliver, and then move away, and that would be a big confounder.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't. We, for the teen pregnancy aspect, we took into account where that teen was living at the time that birth happened. And so, yeah, no, we didn't take into account, did she just move into an area and then have the baby, or did she have the baby and then, you know, 6 months later move out of that area?
Okay. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Leah. I'm from Vermont. I'm wondering how you were able to distribute this resource. Did you have, you know, when you started creating this resource, did you bring a lot of stakeholders together? One of the challenges that we have always when we create, you know, products like this is getting them out to our communities and getting buy-in from them to actually, you know, look at things. So I'm just wondering how you address that.
Yeah, let's see if I got my acknowledgement page here. Whoops. So these are the people that kind of initially designed the outreach piece and kind of decided how it was going to be laid out and what the messaging was going to be. And so we had several state people like myself. We had a person from the Malone Center, which is a substance abuse treatment center, from an individual from the Lincoln Public Schools, as well as the Department of Education. And then with the four community groups that we met with, one was a primarily American Indian community, one was more of an urban area, and the others were more rural areas. And so that's kind of how we tried to get, you know, input from the local area.
And how were you able to engage them? Did you engage them sort of before the process started, or after it had been created and those communities were identified, did you reach out and say, you know, are you interested in having us come and sort of explain this?
Kind of as the process was going on, as we were developing it, you know, we were letting communities know what we were doing, but they really didn't see it or have any input as to what it looked like and what the message was until after it was developed.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Amanda Zabala from the Ohio Department of Health. I was just wondering, going forward with your analysis, if you plan to do it for subsequent years, do you think you'll be looking at other categories or other indicators?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, you can take kind of the framework of this and look at other things such as, you know, HIV rates.
Chronic disease.
Yeah, chronic diseases, diabetes, heart disease. Yeah, so I think this can, you know, this can be useful for looking at a number of different things.
Can I have a question? No. So Vicki Booth with CDC, and she was in my workshop yesterday, and so now I know some of that connections, mm-hmm. but I would just encourage you to, when we give you the information on the 7 cost-effective, impactful interventions that directly address the social determinants of health, that you make sure that all of those communities get that information right away, because I think what the analysis that you did and bringing that spotlight, mm-hmm. almost as good as the life expectancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, and I think you have a real opportunity, kind of like Seattle King County here, to really leverage that with people that want to take action. So,
this on it.
Not a hard question.
Thank you, Allison.